And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Glad to be with you again here on Power of Prophecy, going around the world through shortwave radio, WWCR. We're on Saturday and Sunday night, every Saturday and Sunday night. We have been on for over 20 years. And, of course, on streaming audio, you can catch us at powerofprophecy.com and at Conspiracy World and on the American Voice Network. And if you need some information about that, just go online to powerofprophecy.com and you can get our radio schedule. It'll tell you exactly when we're on the radio. But of course, you're listening. But maybe you're listening right now by audio tape or by a CD, because each week's program we put on CD and audio tape and we offer to you for $8. And always when you order each, you know, we need to pay the old postman and everything, shipping. $5, add $5 for shipping and handling, and we'll get it to you. So $8 for today's program. We've got a very interesting program today, and man alive, whew, lock your doors, close your windows, pull your window shades, turn off your lights, and they can still locate you, identify you, spy on you. Wow. Hide in the shower, hide in the closet. Maybe they've got something in there, too, to search you out. I want to talk today about unmasking the spooks. That's what they call spies. Unmasking the spooks, spies, and the spidery connections of the Illuminati Global Intelligence Network. It's not just here in America. It's all over the world now, and all of these intelligence agencies are working together. Someone recently told me, said, you know, the CIA works with every intelligence unit from every nation in the world. I said, well, how about North Korea? Do they work with the North Korean communist intelligence? Do they work with the Iranian intelligence? And the guy who actually is an intelligence veteran, and I won't tell you his name, says, yes, even those. Wow. You know, we have military troops, American military, in 120 nations all over the face of the planet. And apparently, we've got intelligence in all those places. That doesn't count our so-called National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO. We've got satellites going all over the world watching. It's claimed that these satellites have cameras that can pick up in minute detail. If you're out on a golf course, I don't play golf myself, just don't have time for it. Seems like a lot of fun, maybe, and probably good exercise, but I just don't, never had the time for it myself. Spend all my time reading, searching, studying, investigating, exposing. That's my exercise. I need more, I know, but that's what I love to do. I love to expose the evildoers, to unmask, as in this case, the spook spies and spidery connections of the Illuminati Global Intelligence Network. But they are all over Earth, and from these satellites, they can actually read the fine print on a golf ball and tell who made it, you know, and all that. I don't know the brand names. What's one of them? Titleist? Is that one of the top golf balls? Hey, how did I know that? See, I know a lot of things. I don't play golf, but I know all about these things. Oh, yes. in any way, we're going to talk about this network. Because you may say, well, what does this have to do with me? I don't have them spying on me. You want to bet? I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I could win a bet from you. They're spying on you. They may have your house wiretapped. Could be a video camera in your car. And I'm not asking you to become paranoid, but I've always said this about those whom they call paranoid. Is it paranoia, or are we just more aware of reality? Think about that. I think people who know these things, who study these things, who study conspiracies, as I've said before, are not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy scientists. We want to get to the bottom of things. And I believe my good friends in the Patriot community constantly talk about the growth of the police state. But isn't it really the growth of the intelligence state? Black intelligence, black intel. And the things they want to know about you are so small and so infinitesimal. They want to know everything about your life. And of course, now Obama's Medicare, they're going to get into your medical records. Are there any mysteries hidden there? Oh, he has a bad heart. If we wanted to kill him, maybe we could use an electronic technological weapon that could stop his heart. It's already vulnerable and weak, and we know that from his medical records because they're setting up a database. Everything about you they'll know from the computers. Now, I talked about this database and the international plan to finally bring about the Antichrist in my book, Project Lucid. Even the mark of the beast, no man may buy nor sell, says Revelation 13, save he that has the mark or the name or the number of the beast, which is 666. So how do they make sure that you can't buy or sell? Oh, yes. The IRS is watching you. The FBI is watching you. And hundreds of other intelligence agencies that you may not have heard about. And we're going to discuss a lot of these on this program. I do hope you'll get my book, Project Lucid. We're going to be offering it later on in this program. And my book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, they're watching your food supply. Satellites right now are watching all of the fields of Earth, mapping, canvassing. They know where the food is. They know where to get it. They know how to confiscate it. There's even a World Food Agency, a gigantic building complex set up over in Europe, run by the United Nations. And the head of that agency, I quote her, it's a woman, in my book, Project Lucid, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, she says, food is power. We will use it as a weapon. Well, sure. Deny food to a person after 3 or 4 days, a week, they'll tell you anything you want to know. Anything they want to know, I should say. Food is a weapon, or the denial thereof. That's why they have the World Food Authority. That's why the government has executive orders for martial law already in place. They can confiscate all the food. They close down every grocery store, food store in America and give everybody a little ration card. But the question will be, when you go to get your food to buy it, do you have the chip, the RFID? Have you got the chip yet? Well, sir, we can't serve you. Have you taken the mark, the name, the number? We can't serve you until you do. You're hungry? Your kids are hungry? We're so sorry. You say you want to grow your own crop, maybe buy a little land out in the country, maybe even your backyard in the city, have a little garden? Well, they won't sell you the seeds. Seeds are controlled. Oh, yes, the seeds are controlled. Read about it in my book, Project Lucid. Not just anybody can get seeds. You can't even buy fertilizer until they tell you you can in the coming new world. And if you try, well, you'll be a fugitive from justice. And they'll punish you accordingly. And if you hoard food, well, there's an executive order that says you can't. And there will be troops coming to your door. Very, very nice gentlemen wearing black SWAT team suits. And they say, sir, we're just here to help you. We're combing. We're canvassing your neighborhood. We need to come in and search your premises to make sure you're not hoarding food supplies. Intelligence. Black intelligence. You know, there was a book published many years ago. I have a copy of it. A great book. A British woman published it. Some of these ladies are pretty sharp. Lady Queensborough was her name. They call her Lady Queensborough. It was entitled Occult Theocracy. And she explained and proved in the book that there is a global network of Masonic and other secret societies that work together. They provide intelligence to the Illuminati elite, who are the leaders in many countries of the world. This network of Masonic and secret societies. Do you have Masonic lodges in your town, in your city? Yes, you do. There are 2 million men in America who are members of the Masonic Lodge. That's just a Scottish Rite. There's the Odd Fellows and all these others groups. By the way, the Odd Fellows are not homosexuals. That's the name of a Masonic group, the Odd Fellows. Just so happens that Fidel Castro in Cuba is a member of it. And I see him all the time. You know, when he's giving speeches, and I see him on the news programs, he's doing hand signs of the Masonic order. Quite interesting. Many world leaders, of course, do that. Now, I want to talk to you about that then. Could it be the Masonic lodges have intelligence that they provide back and forth? Oh, yes. Because they say a Masonic brother is welcome in any lodge in the world. You can go to London, Baghdad, Tokyo, and he's welcomed. And everything they do is conducted in private. There are no windows on Masonic lodges. And they can, you know, ferry intelligence messages back and forth. Of course, only when that's necessary, because there are cryptographic systems. I know. I was commanding officer of one of the units that was the prime unit in the U.S. Air Force. Mobile communications. We did the cryptography. When Kissinger and all the others came to Europe, we provided the equipment that placed all of the message back and forth to the National Security Agency and the Defense Intelligence Agency and the CIA that went back and forth, Kissinger. We sent them back and forth. We put them into code. We encoded them. And so you couldn't just, you know, it's not, you could just break into it, hack into it. You would know what it all meant. It was in code. That was what we did in my unit. I found out a lot of things. Read the newspaper one day, but I knew what it said in the newspaper that Kissinger said publicly was not at all what went in over the messages. Totally different. It's like a whole nother world, a parallel world. Science fiction is true. That's what I discovered working in those kind of units. I remember I was with a unit, and I'm not even going to tell you the name of it, in northern Italy. Our unit had a huge room, big as a Walmart, full of computers. And they're evaluating from these satellites and, well, whatever. I'm not going to tell you about it all. I can't. It's secret still to this day. Maybe. I don't know. But the point about it is, we knew every time anyone exploded an atomic weapon where it was. Anytime anyone fired a missile up in space, we knew. We tracked them. We could tell you what airbase in the Soviet Union or it came from. But Red China exploded its atomic bombs, you know, in their test, in their desert there. We could tell you where exactly where the atomic bomb was. And the we could pinpoint the very moment it was detonated. Now, so there are all kinds of intelligence going on around the world, and I'm very aware of these things. I'm aware, of course, that I'm being watched all the time. Maybe my, you know, I don't know, my phone at home is wiretapped. I would be surprised if it were not. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I do care because I value my privacy, but I know I don't have any because of the work that I do here for you and for America, for God. I know they're watching me. I'd like to have some privacy, but I've chosen my way of life, which is to unmask these things. So they're watching me. They're not happy with me, I'm quite sure. And here's the thing about Tex Mars, as I've told you before. What they see is what they get. When they hear me on the radio, they're going to hear the same thing at home. Wanda hears the same thing at home. You're hearing me say now. There's no secrets to Tex Mars. You know, I want to tell you these things, and I'm going to tell you these things. Now, I know there's a few secrets, you know, that I'm pledged to, just to save people's lives or whatever. I know you will honor and respect me in that. But basically, there's no duplicitous Tex Mars out there. There's no double-mindedness. I really am what I am. A lot of people are shocked by that. They say, Tex, I started listening to your radio program 2 decades ago, and you believe the same things. You haven't changed your beliefs. Well, no. They're based on truth. Why should I change? Truth doesn't change. It just is. Now, let's talk more about this intelligence, this black intelligence. And again, I want to remind you, some of this information you will find in my books, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, the only book like it in the world, and Project Lucid, an incredible book. People even today are saying, this is current. This is like today, but you wrote it years ago. Yes, that's right. Now, I want you to understand something. The IRS has intelligence agents. They're watching. The Vatican. The Vatican has units. Secret societies, the Opus Dei, the Jesuits, all over the world, gathering information, reporting back. And the Vatican shares it with the CIA and other intelligence agencies, from the Italians to the French to the British MI5 and MI6 intelligence agencies. Think about it. The IRS, the FBI, oh, they have agents out there. Some people say, well, that's the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Yeah, the FBI, but now it's the international FBI. Did you know the FBI has offices in Montevideo, Uruguay? The FBI has agents in Moscow, in Paris? Oh, yeah. And there are international police agencies, Interpol. But there's an international intelligence agency. And it goes on and on. The Vatican intelligence, the IRS, the FBI, Masonic lodges, other secret societies. I mentioned the NR, the National Reconnaissance Agency. And there's the NSA, the DI. There's hundreds of alphabet agencies. We'll talk about some of these in just a moment, how they're affecting our lives. But first I want to read to you something from the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Remember, Henry Ford says this is happening. This is real. The Protocols, the blueprint for how they were going to take over control and then eventually destroy the world. Setting up a great kingdom of Zion by the Jewish Illuminati king or Antichrist, and how they will destroy Christianity and put to death the Goyim, the cattle, in other words, the Gentiles who would not obey. Listen to what one of the protocols says. This was one of their plans. Remember, these came out of the International Zionist Congress, 1897, where all the richest Jews and Rothschild and so forth. Lenin was there probably. Trotsky was there. I don't have any evidence of that, but why wouldn't they be? Jewish agents. Listen to this. It says, this is their plan now. 1897. We shall create and multiply Freemasonic lodges in all the countries of the world. Absorb into them all who may become or who are prominent in public activity. For in these lodges, we shall find our principal intelligence office and means of influence. Among the members of the lodges will be almost all the agents of international and national police. You know, I've gone across this country and I've seen the police uniforms in cities in Connecticut, New York State, Mississippi, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico. I see Masonic symbols everywhere as insignia on the uniforms. It's interesting, isn't it? There was a British guy who wrote a very interesting book on Freemasonry. He exposed the fact that the vast majority of the police in Great Britain are Freemasons. Just a few years later, he was found dead. They hate exposure. That's why they hate this program today. Now, the CIA works, as I said, with all of these other intelligence agencies, especially Britain, but also, and especially, the Israeli Mossad. The Israeli Mossad also have a secret service called Shin. And they have another one called Betar, B-E-T-A-R. So the Israelis themselves, even though they're a small country of just 7 million, they depend on the vast network of Israeli spies across the globe, like Rahm Emanuel, who is absolutely a Mossad mole, a mega agent, right in the midst of the White House. Benjamin Netanyahu gave an interview in a Jewish publication. He was asked about Freemasonry. He says, yes, I am proud to say I am a Freemason. When I was in the United States as a student going to college there, I was initiated into the Masonic Lodge. He became a Mason in the United States. When Bill Clinton went to Israel to attend the funeral of his Masonic brother, who was assassinated, Yitzhak Rabin, the prime minister, some years ago, The Jerusalem Post had an ad welcoming our Masonic brother, Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton, they call him, to Israel. Our Masonic brother. But his biographers say, no, Clinton is not a Mason. You know, I've searched all the books of George Washington and John Quincy Adams. And you know, all of their biographers, none of them ever say anything about them being a Mason. But George Washington actually, when he died, was given a Masonic funeral. And his tomb at Mount Vernon, his estate, you can visit as a tourist, is an Egyptian tomb. Egyptian, with two obelisks and the queen's entrance and all of that. Egyptian architecture theme for the tomb of George Washington. Of course, the tomb of James Madison and many of our other founders, visit their grave sites and you'll find the Egyptian Masonic obelisk and all kinds of Masonic symbols. These things are not known to Americans in general because these things are all hidden. Now, I want to talk to you about not just the Masons. They're just one little branch of the International Black Intel. But I want to talk to you about all of these groups. I was just reading recently an article. There's by the way, keep inventing. The intelligence agencies are growing, growing, growing. In fact, let me just read to you the Washington Post. Every once in a while, you can get truth from a, you know, like you say that you can't get blood out of a turnip. But every once in a while, you can actually get truth from the Washington Post and the New York Times. Not very often. But just, you know, like the devil, maybe once a day might tell the truth. Or like a broken clock is correct twice a day. The Washington Post just this week published a big report, a Washington Post investigation of top secret America. Now I'm amazed. I don't know whether they put it out to brag or to warn us. Since they're part of it, since the Washington Post and its editors have always cooperated with the CIA, basically they're a CIA-run outfit, it's sort of an amazing thing. I don't think they meant to blast the intelligence agencies. I think they're crowing. Ho, 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 look at this. We are huge. And you peons out there don't have a chance against us. They want to frighten us. They want us to think they're some kind of behemoth. Well, they are. But I'm not frightened. Are you? It says here that the intelligence agencies, the intelligence community, is a hidden world growing beyond control. Now, two of the top ace reporters of the Washington Post, along with the Times, New York Times, considered America's premier lying newspapers. No, they're not. They're actually considered, oh, so respectable. But we know they lie. But they tell the truth here. Listen to this. Let me read to you what Dana Priest and William Arkin, the reporters, say in the article entitled Top Secret America, a Washington Post investigation. They say, the top secret world the government created in response to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. Stop right there. We already had. I'm going to prove to you how many agencies we had before 2001, before 9/11. But that gave them the pretext, the excuse they needed to spend tens of billions, hundreds of billions of our taxpayer dollars to create this newfound, this fantastic new black intel monolith or behemoth. By the way, behemoth is a good word. Read the book of Job. It's a prophetic book. It says, behold now, meaning look upon and pay attention to, behemoth. Maybe the prophetic book of Job was telling us, look upon this black intel. Behold now, behemoth. It says here in this article, it says, that this intelligence community or grouping has become so large, so unwieldy, and so secretive that no one knows how much money it costs, how many people it employs, how many programs exist within it, or exactly how many agencies do the same work. A 2-year investigation by the Washington Post revealed just this week. It says, there is an alternative geography of the United States, a top secret America hidden from public view and lacking in thorough oversight. After 9 years since 9/11 of unprecedented spending and growth, the result is that the system put in place to keep the United States safe is so massive that its effectiveness is impossible to determine. Now, let me give you some of the results of this investigation. Now, again, this is just what has grown up since 9/11. Some 1,271 government organizations and 1,931 private companies work on programs related to counterterrorism, homeland security, and intelligence in about 10,000 locations across the United States. They're in your community. They're in your neighborhood, maybe. You don't even know about them. They will lie to you. Oh, Mr. Johnson, welcome to the neighborhood, you and your family. And what do you do for a living? Oh, I work for a corporation. We do consulting work. Oh, I work for a department store. I work for liars. They're intelligence agents often. And listen to this one. According to the Washington Post and the report, Top Secret America, an estimated 854,000 people, nearly one and a half times as many people as live in Washington, D.C., hold top secret security clearances. 854,000 people. Now, that's not all the ones that work in intelligence. That's just the ones that hold top secret security clearances. It says, in Washington and the surrounding area, 33 building complexes for top secret intelligence work are under construction or have been built since September 2001. 33 building complexes. You know, some years ago, I went to Washington, D.C., I was invited by the only Christian television station and to come and talk about these kinds of things. It was channel, get this, 66. That was the number the FCC assigned to it many years ago when this Christian television station was founded. They go to the FCC and the FCC tells you what number your channel will be. The Christians got 66. I think they were sort of implying, you know, like 666. Sort of like, you know, mocking the Christians. The only Christian television station. And they had advertised for weeks that Tex Morris was going to be there to expose the Clintons and all these other things. I talked for about 4 hours, I think it was, on that TV station. I was going to be on for, I think, two or three nights. I can't remember. But my last night, I went in and the host, you know, interviewed me. They said, something very interesting has happened, Tex. I said, what? The Christian owner of this station just got an offer from a very rich Jewish billionaire who wants to buy the station. We're going to sell it immediately, and he's going to make a huge sum of money. Really? I guess I was the last straw. This Christian station was exposing these things, and to have Tex Mars on their station... Well, they just decided to close up the Christian station. How did they do it? They bought it. A Jewish billionaire. One of the ones that owns one of these home shopping networks on TV. He turned it in. It's part of the home shopping network. Whatever that is. I think there's several of them. Bought up the only Christian station. I was maybe the last guest. I did a 4-hour program. They couldn't take it. Not only that, my last night there, two agents from the CIA, Langley, Virginia, just next door, walked into the station. We just wanted to meet you, Mr. Mars. Isn't that interesting? Two CIA agents walked in. Boy, boy. Let me know they're watching. Ever watching. I'm Tex Mars. We're going to return in a minute for the second half of our program about the spooks and the spies and the spidery connections of the Illuminati Global Intelligence Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello again. Tex Mars here. I want to offer you the two books that I mentioned in our program today, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, and the book Project Lucid. And each of them are incredible books with information that you won't find anywhere else. Project Lucid, L-U-C-I-D. By the way, the acronym there means Logical Universal Communications Interactive Data Bank. Where did I get that? Well, right out of a government magazine for intelligence, security, and international and national police agencies. Out of their magazine, they talked about Project Lucid was on the griddle. It's being cooked up. And you won't believe. The RFID, of course, involves in it. The chip to put in everybody's body. They said that's the ultimate goal. This is from an intelligent source itself talking about the things that were coming, the spy things, showing that we're being tracked, traced, databased. Oh, yes. Technological advances infringing on our privacy. There's the global positioning chips, GPS. There's the internet. Did you know there is now a United States Cyber Command of the military and the intelligence agencies? It's part of the National Security Agency. They have their own symbol or logo, the United States Cyber Command. That's why they just passed a law that Obama can turn off any internet site he wants to, or the entire internet around the world anytime he desires. I have their symbol. I have their logo right in front of me. The National Security Agency has its own logo. Both of these logos, and I'm going to talk about this in a future newsletter, have satanic images secretly superimposed upon them. Now, that's not in the book. I think the one about the National Security Agency is in the book. I have a whole chapter on it in Project Lucid. Get the book, Project Lucid. Get the book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, how they're going to control our food and spy on us. Each of these books is just $20, just $20 for either of these incredible books by Tex Mars. Here's how to order them. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Now remember, add $5 for each book, shipping and handling. So each book would be $25. You can order one or both. Project Lucid or Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673 during the work week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Standard Time. You can go online and order powerofprophecy.com. You can write to us and order the books. Or either book, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our regular program. We're discussing the black intel, the spooks, the spies, the spattery connections of this globalist network. Now let's just talk a little bit about how this all came about. You know, there's been intelligence units all the way back to the U.S. Civil War, North and South, and spies. But right after World War II, didn't World War II, we had the OSS, the Office of Special Services, I think what it was called. Wild Bill Donovan was the head of that. And that really got things going, World War II. After World War II, in 1947, under Harry Truman, the president, the National Security Act was passed. Ah, yes, there we have the National Security Council, the Central Intelligence Agency, not part of our Constitution. Is that what the government is able to do? Well, probably unconstitutional, but they passed a law. And since then, there's been all of these others. The National Security Agency, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office. And then there's all of these groups. Just recently, it's been in the press a lot, Blackwater. Private groups, private armies, mercenary spies. There are probably hundreds of groups like Blackwater, working with the CIA. And the CIA now has its own Air Force. They have the Predator drone aircraft. There was a big fight between the U.S. Air Force brass and the CIA as to who should control these drone aircraft, the spy aircraft. The CIA won the competition and controlled them. They can watch with drones, track you. Then there's the RFID, these smart cards, but later on smart chips that are going to go in your body. People are already taking these chips. They can be tracked everywhere. They can be read. Have you noticed how many traffic cameras there are? Leave your house, go 2 miles to a Walmart, and there might be 100 cameras that you didn't even know existed, watching you on the streets, watching you on the sidewalk, watching you in the parking lot, watching you in the store, everywhere, being watched. And now, how many people are watching the internet? Every time you get an email, every time you send one, every time you surf the web, they're watching, possibly. Every time you make a phone call, the National Security Agency has computers wearing, gathering information. If you use certain keywords, they're getting you. Now, I don't know how many minutes we have. I want to save a little bit of time because I have my good friend Victor Thorne coming up. Victor Thorne has written a fantastic new book called Frontman, The Dark Plot of Obama. And I want to ask Victor Thorne how this intelligence, this shadowy network that's worldwide, is Obama a part of that? Not just as president, but was it the CIA that helped to groom and mentor him? Was he working with the CIA? Victor Thorne says in his book that Bill Clinton was a member of that. And so I'm going to save all that for the presidential connections. George Bush, of course, Senior Bush, was director of the CIA and was a CIA agent before he ever became a congressman. Now, George W. Bush, he's just a clone and a puppet and an idiot, so they didn't really want him in the intelligence field. But I guess because he was part of the Bush dynasty, they made him president. And believe me, Jeb Bush is going to go for it next time, probably, or the next time. Now, what I want you to understand, dear friends, is this network is absolutely gigantic. It covers the IRS, the FBI, the Vatican, the Masonic lodges, the OTO and probably in other secret societies, the Israeli Mossad, the Israeli Betar, the Israeli Shin, all working together. And I have sort of a last word before we bring on my good friend Victor Thorne. This comes from the Bible. These people, these intelligence agencies, this shadowy network that is everywhere in 10,000 locations just since 9/11. I mean, if that's just since 9/11, think of all the billions of dollars spent on intelligence work before 9/11. They're joining hand in hand to watch us, to track us, maybe someday to arrest us, take us away to gulags, to concentration camps. But I love what the Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 21. It says that though hand joined in hand, though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Oh, I love that. I love that. They can join hand in hand in their conspiracies, in their evil deeds and plans, but they're not going to go unpunished for this. God knows. Talk about a spy agency. He's got it. He knows even the very heart of these evil men. Now, let's see about my good friend, Victor Thorne, and what he's got to say about President Obama and these black intel agents. So I have here with me on the telephone from Washington, D.C., my good friend, Victor Thorne. Hey, this guy is one of the best investigators in the world, and he's written a number of books. He wrote some that, my goodness, you've got to get. On the Clintons, their drug dealings, all kinds of things. And you know, Hillary Clinton, she's not finished yet. She's Secretary of State, and old big sister Hillary Clinton looks like she might even run for president again. There's a lot of, stuff coming out about that. The possibility, if Obama doesn't please his Illuminati handlers, they might just turn to big sister for the next presidency. So they may be setting that up. I might even ask Victor Thorne that question. This newest book is a smash. It's called Frontman, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed. Now listen, I have a video called Rothschild's Choice about Obama and the hidden cabal that are out to murder America. But this book puts the icing on the cake. It has the information I've got in my video, but goes several steps further. So this is an absolute great book. And you know, the nice thing about this book, and I don't know how Victor does it. Maybe he's a better writer than me. Obviously he is, because I usually take about 600 pages, 400 pages. But listen, on 112 pages, he's got it wrapped up. 112 pages. And I'll tell you, the same information you'll get in a 300 or 400 page book, you're going to get in this book. So it's just a terrific book by Victor Thorne. As I said, he's a good friend of mine. I've met him in person. He's a legitimate man. He really cares about these things. A hard worker, obviously he is. he wouldn't be able to know so much from his investigations. But this is the first book that actually really digs down deep. Every other book I've seen, even the videos except mine, are really just, you know, they don't really tell the whole story. This is everything. You're going to learn about Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. You're going to learn about Obama's connection to the communist terrorist underground, to the Judaizers, to the Israelis, the Mossad. I mean, this is an astonishing book that you must have. Hey, Victor Thorne, welcome to Power Prophecy.
Well, thank you for having me on, Tex. I most certainly appreciate it.
You know, today's program is about the intelligence state. A lot of people worry about the police state, but really the intelligence state, I think, it really wraps up the police and everything within it. Back all the way to the days of the Senator Frank Church Committee, we've known of the misdeeds, foulness of the CIA. We know that John F. Kennedy once threatened that he would splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces, but I guess they did him in because he was one of their mortal foes. Now, here's what I'd like to really know from you, Victor, and I'd really like for you to elaborate on it, because you're an investigator, researcher of both the Clinton administration and the Obama administration. Are there CIA intelligence ties to both men, and especially Obama? And how does that fit in with the global conspiracy and the American breakdown that's occurring right in front of our eyes today?
Well, I guess the best way to start with this, Tex, is to ask a question that everybody was asking a couple years ago when Barack Obama first came on the scene. They asked, who is this guy and where did he come from? Hmm. But other than your writings and your video and this book here, nearly every other source only touches the surface of this and doesn't go down and look at all of these other things, like his ties to Israel and the Mossad and Zionism and also the intel agency. Well, last April, I did an interview with a woman named Deanna Spingola, and in this she had a great quote. She said, the CIA had their eyes on Barack Obama from day one. There's a good chance he's been a CIA product since inception. And inception is a key word, because inception, could that also mean conception? Could they have had their eyes on him even before he was born? Now, that's a mind-boggling thought. But if you look at his mother, and all of this is chronicled in the book Frontman, his mother was a CIA cutout who was recruited by various intel agencies in the late 1950s, and the purpose was to infiltrate the black nationalist and the civil rights organizations that were forming at that time, whether it's the Nation of Islam or Malcolm X or, the Black Panthers or even Martin Luther King. The powers that be had a lot of concerns about these. So if we go towards the back of the book Frontman, there's maybe the most important chapter in the whole book. It's called Who is Barack Obama's Real Father? And I come up with a man named Frank Marshall Davis, who was a member and founder of Chicago's Communist Party USA, and he had to flee to Hawaii after the heat got too heavy in the States here. And I allege in this book that Frank Marshall Davis is actually Barack Obama's father. Now, Obama calls him, or Davis acted really as a mentor, and when you look at his mother at this time, when he was living in Hawaii, she was supposedly this poor, single, divorced woman, but it ends up, Tex, that she traveled during Barack Obama's formative years. She traveled to 13 different countries and worked for two different companies that were notorious for providing cover for the CIA. They're called cutout companies. And what's really interesting, one of her employees at the Ford Foundation was a guy named Peter Geithner. Now, why does the name Geithner ring a bell? Well, Peter Geithner's son is Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary of the United States. So here was Barack Obama's mother working for Tim Geithner's father at the Ford Foundation.
Wow, what a web we weave, right?
Yeah, so now we see we have these little incestuous circles starting to be formed. And if we go forward a little bit now, I also interviewed a guy named Pastor James David Manning, a black man. And he said that Obama was recruited into the CIA during his time at Occidental College in California. Now, the big question is why. Why would the CIA want to recruit this guy who's supposedly just some kid from a broken home, very similar to Bill Clinton? Well, in 1979, the most pivotal event going on was the Soviet-Afghanistan War. And the CIA admittedly had very few inroads into the Arab world at the time. So what they wanted was someone that had some familiarity with this world. So here we have a kid who spent a lot of time during his youth in Indonesia. Some people say that he's actually a Muslim, and he definitely understood the Islamic culture. So what they recruited him into being was they wanted him to provide assistance to the Mujahideen as a CIA logistics agent. So to get him out of Occidental College, they needed some cover, because being that Obama spent 2 years at Occidental College, people knew him there. He couldn't just disappear because people would say what happened to him. So what happened was they very conveniently transferred him to Columbia University in New York City, where nobody knew him. Now, the next big question is, who was a professor at that time at Columbia University? Well, the answer is Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, Brzezinski is not only an expert on Russia, but he was associated with the CIA since the 1950s. He was co-founder of the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller. He was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, and he wrote one of the most pivotal books ever at the time called The Grand Chessboard, which was really a blueprint for our later Afghani war. So Zbigniew Brzezinski recruits Obama, and in 1981 and 1982, Obama travels between Pakistan and Russia. Now, what's really interesting is that in his biographies, which more than likely were ghostwritten by William Ayers, the terrorist from the Weather Underground, but in these biographies, Barack Obama says that when he arrived in New York City from Occidental College, he was so poor that he didn't have enough money to even get a room at the time. Yet, here he is traveling from the United States to Pakistan and then going into Russia. And it's also quite interesting that Bill Clinton, during his college days, which I bring out in the Clinton trilogy that I wrote, that he also traveled under the auspices of the CIA to Russia also. Now, Deanna Spingola, again, during this interview, she says that Obama was the lead agent in this arms and money and drug supply chain for the CIA-trained Taliban army. And they were, of course, in the war against the Soviet war machine. And she says that Obama was one of the integral members in the Taliban's success. And if we remember correctly, this war with Russia against Afghanistan became Russia's Vietnam and eventually led to the downfall of the Soviet Empire. So there were we had a lot vested in making sure that the Mujahideen defeated the Russian army. Now, if we jump forward to the 2008 presidential campaign, Barack Obama, for the first time ever in his life, actually admitted that he traveled to Pakistan in 1981. Yet, Tex, in the two autobiographies that he wrote, he never once mentioned these trips to Pakistan. Now, here's a kid that's 20 years old. He'd never left Hawaii or the States. You know, he lived a little bit in Indonesia. But here he is making these big monumental travels to Pakistan and to Russia, and he never once mentions it in two autobiographies. So we have to ask ourselves, why wouldn't he mention something like this so pivotal?
So we have a connection there. Now, there's a company you mentioned in your book as well. So he supposedly went to Columbia, and I have long heard that Columbia, the administration there, is heavily linked with the CIA and carries on many different projects with them. And, of course, their School of Journalism basically is the nation's number one source for CIA journalists that are paid and work at CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, and so forth. So I can see the connection there. Now, he evidently worked for some company called Business International, which you report is also a CIA proprietary company, consulting. But he was just a young man. What would he know about consulting of business companies? We really don't know, evidently, what he did there, right?
Exactly. And, yeah, the name of the company was Business International Corporation. It's a CIA cutout. And, again, Tex, in his autobiographies, Barack Obama doesn't mention his first job. Now, you know, anybody's first job is a big deal in their life, whether it's even, you know, delivering newspapers or being sweeping up at a store after school or whatever. So his first real job, he doesn't even mention it in his autobiographies. Why? It's because it's a CIA company, and he didn't want anybody trailing this. So if we go back to the story, in 1981, when he traveled to Pakistan, this country was in severe turmoil at that point, and so badly that they actually imposed martial law, and there was a ban on people traveling from the U.S. to Pakistan. Now, we know that Obama was living in New York City, supposedly attending Columbia University, yet he was able to travel to Pakistan and bypass this travel ban. So how did he do it? Well, he put down that he was a foreign student, and he used an Indonesian passport. So he didn't have a U.S. passport. He had an Indonesian passport. So at this time, so this all goes back again to his birth status. Is he actually born in the United States? Was he born elsewhere? Well, why doesn't he have a U.S. passport? Instead, he has an Indonesian passport.
So this is the reason why the Obama and his handlers are desperate to keep all of this bottled up, this mysterious past, including where he was born and his birth certificate and so forth. Now, Rahm Emanuel comes in the equation, and you cover him, the White House chief of staff, in your book, Frontman Victor. And evidently, you say he was tied in with MEGA. He was working with the Clinton administration and now with Obama. Tell us a little bit about Obama, and does the Mossad, the Israeli spy agency, how close do they work with the CIA? And is Obama really as much a Mossad agent then as a CIA agent?
Well, I believe that the Mossad and the CIA are like a hand in a glove. And I know I saw your presentation last fall in Washington, D.C., Tex, at the American Free Press Conference, and you and I, even back then, were on the same wavelength where, you know, you were quoting different people who were calling Barack Obama America's first Jewish president.
Mm.
Well, there's a lot of researchers who claim that the mysterious MEGA, who is this Mossad spy within the Clinton White House, was actually Rahm Emanuel. And I wrote an article a few weeks ago for the American Free Press that claims that Rahm Emanuel may be the mole within the Obama administration also. In other words, Israel needs somebody very, very close to the president to keep an eye on them. And not only does Rahm Emanuel bolster Barack Obama, but he also has the same ability to chop him out at the knees. And in this article, I gave quite a bit of evidence how Rahm Emanuel was doing this. And if ever, you know, they need to pull a Richard Nixon on Obama, Rahm Emanuel is in the perfect position to do so. So he's a man that definitely, you know how they say keep your friends close and your enemies closer? Well, with an enemy like that or a friend like that, whatever case may be, I think Barack Obama should be looking over his shoulder at all times, because this isn't a guy to be trusted whatsoever.
But as long as Obama, and all his life, he's been mentored for this, trained, groomed, there's probably no reason for him to jump ship and try to be independent of the Mossad CIA influence, is there? And because, you know, it's rewarded him and his family, Michelle and so forth, so far. So it seems like they may be watching over him to make sure there are no missteps, so he doesn't try to pull a JFK or a Nixon, let's say. But it seems like he's not going to, and he's playing according to their script, doesn't it?
Yeah, there are some people who actually, you know, say that Barack Obama might pull a JFK or something like that. But what I go by is actions, Tex. And this guy, every opportunity he has, you know, he met with Netanyahu last week and, you know, was completely fawning over this guy. And, you know, Barack Obama is the emptiest suit of any president we've even ever had, even more so than George W. Bush. I mean, he's done nothing in his life. His highest job that he ever had, his highest real job, was as a community organizer. And I know he was in the Senate and so forth, but these were jobs that were set up for him that, you know, they paved the way for him. And this guy's never done anything in his life. He's a complete question mark. And when you look at his past, and when he travels to Pakistan, he's meeting with the prime minister of Pakistan. He's meeting with with the leader of the Northern Command. He's meeting with ex-Soviet war veterans. He's meeting with people from the Mujahideen. Now, we have to ask ourselves, Tex, how is a 20-year-old kid who's a college student meeting with some of the most important people in this war at the time? And he actually even stayed with a man named Mian Mohammadian Sumra, who was the interim prime minister of Pakistan and also tied in with BCCI, probably the biggest, dirtiest banking scandal of all time. So how does this college kid with no money, no resources, no ties, no connection, meet with the highest people in Pakistan, Afghanistan, even meeting with people in Russia? It doesn't make sense unless you look at it as him being a CIA asset. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Well, you know, we know that George Herbert Walker Bush, the first Bush president, was not only involved in the CIA, but evidently was at a lower level working in Texas, Dallas, and then Houston for the CIA, and became implicated in the plot to kill JFK.
Oh, there's a lot of evidence of that and good videotapes out there on that subject. And, you know, one of the other things then we have to look at is if people ask, well, if we look at the timeline from 1981 to 1983, when you say that Barack Obama was in the CIA, he was actually attending Columbia University. So they could say, Victor Thorne, we can disprove your whole argument there because he's at Columbia. But the truth of the matter is, Tex, there is no records whatsoever of him being at Columbia University.
Yeah, that's what your book is so good about this. No transcript. Hundreds of interviews with students there. They all said never saw him. Professors. He was never even on the campus, evidently, of Columbia. So it's just a fake resume reference, isn't it?
There's no yearbook accounts, no work records, no housing records. There's no friends, no associates. A guy named Wayne Allen Root, who ran as a vice presidential candidate of the Libertarian Party, was actually not only in the same graduating class as Barack Obama from Columbia University, but in the same major, which was political science. And he went and interviewed 400 different people in his class, in his graduating class, and he couldn't find a single person there that knew him, that remembered him, that ever met him, that ever saw him at Columbia University. So what we have is not only all his college records at Occidental, Columbia, and Harvard that have been sealed and not released, but we also have his birth certificate, which is sealed, hasn't been released. So what we have with this guy, Tex, is a huge question mark.
Other than,
if he wasn't at Columbia University for those 3 years, where was he?
A horrible thing, a Manchurian-type candidate. Well, Victor Thorne, we're going to be recommending everybody buy your front man, Obama's Darkest Secrets Revealed. And hey, keep up the good work, and please let us know the next big revelation you've got that you've uncovered. Please come back here on Power of Prophecy and let us know about it, would you?
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Tex, and I certainly appreciate everything you guys do down there at Power of Prophecy also.
And give the people at American Free Press, I recommend everybody get a subscription to that great newsletter. Give everybody, including the boss man there, he's famous history revisionism. You know who I'm talking about?
Willis Cardo.
Willis Cardo. Great man. Give him my best as well. And maybe we'll be seeing you in the future. Victor, God bless you, my friend.
Same to you, Tex. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Well, I want to thank my good friend Victor Thorne. Very illuminating information, should I say? Dare I say? Well, it's been great to be with you, my friends, here on Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars, and it's my fervent wish and prayer that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.